welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, this morning we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture in Numbers, and I'll give you a quick little backstory about it. When Moses, had led the Hebrew children out of Egypt, there was some they went through a few trials before they actually got to the Promised Land. As we know, there's like 40 years of journeying and different things like that, and one of the episodes that happened during that time, that wilderness experiences, the people, and you kind of hear this repeatedly, they'd say, man, it'd been better for us to stay back in Egypt. It was easier back then. You let us out here. They were kind of grumbling and moaning and complaining against the Lord, and, come on, things are back. We're better back in the old way, the old life. As a result, there was just, they kind of opened themselves up for judgment, and the form of judgment that came from their complaining at that time was serpents. Serpents were, came among them, poisonous serpents, and people were dying. And the people realized that they missed it. They were complaining against God. They weren't trusting Him. And so this is kind of where the story picks up. The people coming to Moses and ready to come clean. It says in Numbers 21:7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. This is quite a profound story in the Old Testament. And you can imagine, you just think, well, okay, I'm just going to look and I'm going to live. But if you can kind of go back to the context of when this happened and where it happened and the circumstances around it, this is a very dangerous, scary, troubled, chaotic time. If you can imagine, there are thousands and thousands of these snakes. If we just released one poisonous snake right now in this room, how easy would it be to keep your concentration up here while I'm preaching a sermon? When there is danger and chaos and things going on around you, it's a lot more tempting to look at the situation than it is to turn your gaze away and look. And that word look means a steady, fixed gaze. It's not a glance. It's a steady, fixed gaze. So these folks, had to look away from, in the sense, they had to turn their focus away from, from the pain that was in their body. They had to turn it away from maybe the guilt of their own complaining and shame and knowing that they had done the very thing that brought this on them. They may have to look away from the care of their immediate family at the moment and the care of everything going on around them and just turn away, look away from everything else and just gaze at this bronze serpent. And it says that if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. There was healing in that gaze. Now you got to remember that there's kind of two things about this look. It was a look of faith because you had to look away from all the junk. You had to, by faith, look at this serpent. There was faith in this gaze and there was healing in this gaze. Look and live. And this is one of the great miracles of the Old Testament. People just looked and were healed. Looking away from the stuff, looking at that pole, that serpent on the pole. There's a lot of tremendous typology of Christ having become a curse for us as it relates to the serpent on the pole and the allegory of how that fits with Christ and our look to the cross. And we look and live, you know, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus kind of allegorically took that place where he took upon himself our sin. And we look at that dark place and we live. And, you know, allegorically they had that bronze serpent. They looked and they lived. But these things, the scripture says in the Old Testament, are written for our admonition as an example for us. There is that typology of Christ and the cross as it relates to the serpent on the pole. But there's also another example that we see in this, and that is there is a look. You know, they basically had, there was faith in their look, and there was life in their look. There was healing in their look. They would look and live. And we got to realize, as we're walking by faith too, that example is so powerful because it so relates to us today too, because there is still a look of faith and there is still life in the look that we have when we look away and we're looking toward God. We're looking and living. So that's kind of the principle that I really want to minister along the lines of this morning. Look and live. You know, Door of Life, we say, it's kind of where faith meets real life. So we like to take a lot of these concepts and break them down to where we live, how we feel, what we're thinking. What does this look like in real life as I'm endeavoring to really live for God? And look and live is a principle that got those folks through their trial. And the look and live principle is many times what gets us through our trials. And to remember that, look and live. Look and live. They didn't have to figure anything out. They just had to look and live. And so this morning, as we look at look and live, we're really just going to look at it from two standpoints. Okay, first of all, when we talk about looking, we have to realize that there is the need to look in the right place. Look in the right place. It's not just enough to look. You got to be looking in the right direction. In other words, they had to look at that serpent on the pole because that's where their healing came from. Again, there were so many places they could have been looking, but they had to stop and make a steady gaze there. So here's what we want to look at in terms of just looking in the right place. And this is basically the resurrection account in Luke as they were looking for Jesus. It says in Luke 24, verse 1, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words." This is a big, big part of looking in the right place. The angels, you know, really ask a very profound question in verse 5 there. Why do you seek the living among the dead? In other words, you're looking for someone who's alive, but you're looking in the wrong place. You're looking at death, and you won't find life there, right? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? And then something powerful that happened that caused them to look in the right place, it said in verse 8, they remembered his words. What words did they remember? The words that the angels reminded them of. And in verse 6, remember how he spoke to you when he's still in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, must be crucified, and the third day rise again. Jesus told them that those very words in verse 7 repeatedly that Passion Week and leading up to the Passion Week. The Son of Man is going to be delivered to sinful men. He's going to be crucified, and the third day he's going to rise again. And the angel reminded him of those words. If the disciples would have had a written test before the crucifixion, true or false, the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise again the third day. They could have marked true. They got it. They remembered it, that he told them that over and over and over. They didn't fully understand it, but they knew that's what he said. Those words, they would have remembered those words. And so here we see the angel basically reminding these women of what God had already said to them. He said, you must be delivered to the hands of sinful men. So if you kind of look at it in verse 7, it's kind of a checklist. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Check. We saw that. He has to be crucified. Check. He was crucified. And the third day, rise again. Wow. That's right. He said he would rise again. There was hope in those words. When you're talking about looking and living, it is going to be a look of hope. It's going to be a look outward. It's going to be a look of what God has said in his word. There's like a look of life, of remembrance. This is very powerful, even as we experience grieving, to remember that, you know what? Not only did Jesus have the promise of resurrection, but when you look at the hope we have as Christians, it really sounds the same way. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you know, we have a living hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Check. That whoever believes in him, check, will not perish but have everlasting life. You know, they got through the first two check marks okay, but that third check mark was a faith proposition, wasn't it? In other words, they could see him being handed over, they could see him being crucified. You know, I've got the account of the gospel. It's been preached to me, I believe. It's in the here and now. But I can tell you one thing, in the last 2,000 years, anybody who's ever believed on Jesus has never perished. They had a resurrection experience in their spirit, and they were absent from the body, they're present with the Lord. In other words, the angel was reminding these ladies, you know what? He is risen, just as he said. He's alive. It must have been a real, wow, he really is the truth moment. This really happened. He's really raised from the dead. You know? You might find yourself, I don't know, gawking at the splendor of heaven someday, and an angel will kind of rib you a little and say, you know, I told you in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, that there is a spot in heaven reserved for you. This is real. In other words, the faith part of it, the resurrection part of it, they came face to face with, and they had to remember those words. What words did they remember? On the third day, he'll rise again. What do we remember? Praise God, there is an inheritance incorruptible reserved in heaven for us. There's hope. There is hope. Sometimes the look and live, you know, when you're grieving is remembering, you know what? There is hope. Praise God. In the same way, just as sure as Jesus rose from the dead, man, if you believe in Christ, you will not perish, but you have everlasting life. If you're absent from the body, you are present with the Lord. That's where my loved one is right now. They're present with the Lord. Praise God. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? I know what it's like as you're grieving. And there are times you got to keep your mind on the hope of life, the hope of the promise. You know, that's the obvious kind of hope as it relates to, you know, just eternal life. But there's also another searching for the living among the dead that we do in the here and now as it relates to coming through some of our circumstances. And that's where, you know, you can kind of put it this way. You know, the angel said, you know, why do you seek the living among the dead? You could kind of rephrase it, don't look for living things among dead things. They're not there. Now, let's take a look at what, what the Apostle Paul tell the Romans. He said, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And this is where we can, in a more subtle way, kind of fall into the trap of looking for the living among the dead. It's very easy to get carnally minded. What do we mean by carnally minded? Well, the stuff that the flesh, the Bible talks about the flesh. It's there in Galatians 5. It's, you know, the physical stuff, the fornication, adultery, lewdness, lust, but then it goes on to say hatred, anger, bitterness, outbursts of wrath, you know, murders, different things like that. So the flesh represents the full spectrum of physical, emotional, everything that just plays on our bodies. And it's easy in these bodies, you know, mortal bodies, you'll notice that you are living in a mortal body. The word mortal simply means subject to death. A mortal body has appetites for things that are dead, spiritually, as it were. And so you have a body that's pulling against you. And what'll happen a lot of times in our Christian walk, something will get us carnally minded, and we'll find ourselves trying to find spiritual answers in the middle of a mind that's carnal and death. It's confused and angry and frustrated and discombobulated, and I'm trying to find an answer here. And you find yourself looking for the living among the dead. You're trying to get spiritual direction in a dead place. And the thing that we're gonna have to do if we're going to try to find what we're looking for is that there's going to be a look. There's going to be a look of faith. Because what we're trying to find, you know, it just isn't there. And again, a lot of times, you know, people have, you know, we especially politicizing sin and what's sin and all that. Here's the technical problem with sin. I think the blood of Christ cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Thank God for the blood. We were singing about it, celebrating it, remembering it in communion this morning. The blood versus sin is not a match. Blood defeats the sin every time, okay? Praise God for that. But here's the technical problem with sin while I'm engaging in sin. For me to engage in sin, I got to do one thing first. I got to get carnally minded. Before I sin, I got to set my mind on whatever it is that I'm about to engage in. So it just focuses me. We're just talking technical. This isn't even moral. This isn't even has nothing to do with guilt or shame, nothing. This is just under the hood technical stuff. The same way in gas causes the pistons to fire in your engine, okay? In a technical sense, you know, sin is like water to your car if you were to put it in your engine, because it can't, there's no power in it. There's no ability to move things. And when you're carnally minded and you sin, before you sin, you have to get carnally, you got to get your mindset there. And so you've sinned, you feel bad, you're ashamed, and yeah. Thank God for the blood that'll cleanse you. But there's something else that needs to happen, right? There's a spiritual mindedness that needs to happen. And that's really what repentance means. It just means to change your mind. I'm just changing the way I think right now, okay? The blood is what cleanses me, all right? That's what I receive by faith. But there's something else. In other words, I can say, oh, it was wrong to put water in my car. That really ruins my engine. But at some point, I'm going to have to get the water spout out of my tank. I mean, it's great to acknowledge it, that it's wrong, but I'm going to have to put gas in there eventually, you know? I got to physically, and this is the technical aspect of sin. It just causes your focus to focus either life or death. It focuses you on death. That's why the scripture says, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so as we're looking for the living among the dead sometimes, we got to realize, hey, wait now. I got to get my mind right. I got to set it right. And this is where we get that exhortation in Colossians where it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Can I find Christ today? Yes, I can find him among the living. How do I, as a Christian, find Christ among the living? I set my mind on things above where Christ is. Seek those things that are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And so your life is hidden with Christ in God. Seek those things which are above. All right, this is that. What are we talking about? We're talking about look and live. And we got to start by looking in the right place. We got to look in the right place. If I want a hammer and I go to a confectionery, I'm just not going to find it there. No matter how long I look, I will not find the hammer there. You got to look in the right place. Now, if I go to a hardware store, I don't know where it is. You know, hardware stores can be a very intimidating place to walk into. There's like everything from A to Z, and I'm going in there and going, wow, you know. I mean, I could be there for, you know, a crayon, or I could be there for a certain screw, or, you know, it's like, wow, it's just like everything literally, yeah, soup to nuts. And so you walk in, but you know one thing, there's going to be somebody there that can help you and direct you to the aisle and to the shelf and get you where you need to go, all right? So you know that you've got help once you get there. You know, and that's the way it is a lot of times, too, when you're talking about trying to get answers, trying to get healings, trying to get solutions and all that. It's like, you know, I got to go to the right place. I don't know what the answer is, but I know who has the answer. I know who has it. I know where it is. So I'm gonna start there. And thank God, that's why we got the Holy Spirit. Because if you'll just go there by faith, if you look there by faith in a general sense, that's when the Holy Spirit can begin to lead and guide you into all truth. And let me say this. We just got done seeing where to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is where faith meets real life, okay? So we can talk shop about spiritual things. If you've been carnally minded, spiritual mindedness does not start out as life and peace. In fact, it's going to feel like a cold shower to your flesh. And so if you're in the middle of carnal mindedness and you have a couple thoughts of spirituality and you're feeling condemned because you're not floating on clouds, don't. Don't. In fact, there's a lot of forces that'll be fighting you to not get spiritually minded. You have the flesh, the world, and the devil. You have your own body that's fighting you. What Paul says, if you want to get technical, he says, the law of sin and death in my members wars against the law of my mind. That's an internal conflict. As a virtue of, well, I shouldn't say as virtue, as a result of living in one of these bodies. You got to fight that. See, don't think on things above. Feed me. Feed me. And then you got the Satan, who goes about as a roaring lion, roaring fear and anxiety and things in your head. So you're going to have to look past the pull of your body. You're going to have to look past the fear and the roars of the enemy to look that steady gaze to begin to look up to those things which are above. And you'll notice in verse he says, not on things on the earth, just as a clarification. It takes faith. This is a look of faith to begin to look and to do that. It's an absolute gaze, but you're looking in the right place. And that's one of the things that I got to realize, that when I'm down there and I'm frustrated, I just got to realize the answer isn't there. The healing isn't there. The direction isn't there. The strength isn't there. The restoration isn't there. The healing, strength, and restoration, these are living things I want. If I want living things, I can't look for them among the dead. I'm going to have to set my mind on things above, where the life is, where my life is hidden in Christ. There's a look there. And again, it doesn't mean that I'm going to see everything right away, but praise God, I'm looking that direction. Here's another scripture that I like along these lines. Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Listen to this. If therefore the light, that this is kind of tongue-in-cheek, all right? If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And this is what we've all experienced, looking for life, looking for the living among the dead. If the light that is in me is bitterness and rage and anger and passion and lust and all that kind of the junk of the flesh, if that's the light that is in me, and I'm trying to find answers in that, if the light that is in me is darkness, how great is that darkness? That drives you into levels of depression and deep darkness. But if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, I'm not trying to fix anything. I just want light. I just want light. You know, if it's midnight and you remember you forgot your phone in the bathroom, and you go into your bathroom, you're not going to be feeling around the whole bathroom to find your phone. The only feeling around you're going to do is for that light switch, to turn on the light, and then look for your phone. And when you're in a dark place spiritually, there's really just one thing we want to feel. Instead of trying to fix ourselves, trying to looking for life, feel around for the light switch. God, this is the one thing I just want to get in fellowship with you. I just want to set my mind on things above. I want to turn the light. Once the light is on, it's amazing how you just begin to think. You can hear the voice of the Spirit again. You can hear impressions of thought in your mind that's coming from God, and wisdom on your mind that's coming from God. And all you did was by faith look. Look in the right direction. Look in the right direction. Just tuning in. And then He's going to show me what I need when I need it. I'm not figuring it out. I'm just tuning in. I'm just looking unto Jesus. He authored my faith. He's the finisher of my faith. He'll show me what to do. But I'm just looking in that direction. It's kind of a look and live. And so just important to realize as we're looking that we're going to look in the right place. And again, we could get off in a whole, how do you look at things above? We've been through a lot of this at Door of Life. The promises of God, the Word of God, songs, hymns, spiritual songs, getting your mind on things above, good godly fellowship, things like that that are going to stir your heart and mind to spiritual mindedness. Get yourself immersed in just an atmosphere where you're hearing God, spiritual-oriented things. You know, obviously there's times during the day you don't have that luxury, but as you do have, you know, even during those times, in your heart and your mind, you can be thinking and worshiping God in your heart. It is on faith. Let me say this. It doesn't feel, you're not going to hear the angels singing when you do it for the first time. But I'm going to tell you what, after you stay at it and you by faith have a steady gaze, we're not talking about glancing at things above. We're talking about seeking things above. That's not just a casual, it's a seeking. In other words, a steady gaze, I'm going to keep it. And all of a sudden, as they kept a steady gaze, all of a sudden, the pain was gone, and they were healed, and they were strong, and they were whole. At some point in that gaze, things started to change. But they kept their gaze. And that's exactly what happens with us. We're going to keep my mind on things above. As I do, I will get spiritually minded. As I get spiritually minded, I will have life and peace. From that place of life and peace, I will hear the voice of the Spirit. I'll have a sense of direction and clarification in my own spirit and be strengthened with might by His Spirit in my inner man. But there's a look and live. Look and live. Don't feel condemned because you don't, again, don't hear it right away. Stay with it. It's a steady gaze. And there's healing in that gaze. Praise God. And then finally, it's a choose to live, all right? It's important as we look and live that we realize that there is an aspect that we have to choose to live. Deuteronomy 19 through 20, this is a powerful passage of Scripture, again, that we see in the Old Testament. It says, I call heaven and earth to witness today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give him. And so here we see, you know, as far as, you know, under the old covenant, they had the choice to choose life, basically to choose to serve God and obey His commandments back then. Today, we have that choice to set our mind on things above or on things on the earth. Choose life. Why is it when we choose to set our mind on things above, we're choosing life? We have this choice every day. This is not a choice of whether I'm going to go to heaven or to hell. I've made that choice to go to heaven when I chose Jesus. But I am talking about whether I'm going to choose to enjoy an abundant life while I'm down here or not. Or whether I'm going to choose to live, you know, to choose the life and peace or to have the, you know, to have the chaos of sin and the flesh and all that. So basically, it is a conscientious choice. Choose to live. Choose to and when I say choose to live, let me put it in a context. A lot of times when people are trying to sell you different things, you know, maybe you're selling some health things, some health care, health products, something to make you, you know, feel better, to live better, to be healthier. Or maybe it's a, you know, just a getaway, a vacation, a break from it all, different things like that, things that are going to help you. A lot of times they'll preface it, you deserve this. Take care of yourself. Take care of, take time for yourself. If nobody takes time for yourself, you know, only you can take time for yourself. These are all things that are true. There are times that we need things, there are times, but a lot of times when you think of something like health and vacation and things like that, it's something you're going to literally stop and take time out of your routine to do. It's easy to let certain things fly under the radar and you don't enjoy a vacation for years and years and you don't stop and take time to take care of yourself because you're busy. So these are things that when you're being sold, you're told you got to stop and realize to take time for yourself to do this. When you're choosing to look and live, that's the mentality you got to have. You're doing this for you, sweetheart, because you're precious and you're loved and you deserve it. And you need to take some time for yourself. In other words, the time that I'm looking and setting my mind on things above, if my mentality is this is my religious obligation, it's my duty, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, no. You're bought by the blood. Heaven's your home. Jesus is your Lord. You're doing this. You're doing this for your own spiritual health, your own spiritual life. You're taking care of yourself when you're choosing to look and live. I'm doing this for me. Isn't that kind of the way it is? It's almost kind of like an unselfish selfishness where I'm doing something to take care of myself, even on behalf of other people. A lot of the way, that's the way health stuff is. I'm taking care of myself because I can't take care of other people unless I first take care of myself. That's not only true physically, it's true spiritually. This is where you get stuff to give to other people. But there is a taking care of yourself where you got to choose it. Which, I mean, I'm talking about getting away from the momentum, the routines, and really saying, this is something I've got to do. And we all know what it's like in different places and seasons of life spiritually, where we've experienced that stronger at some points than others. And we realize, man, we can call it a devotion time, it is the time where you are choosing to take care of yourself spiritually and saying, okay, I'm looking and living. I'm looking into the eyes of my Lord, the author of my faith, my faith, the finisher of my faith. And so as we do that, we can't be intimidated away from it. Here's a wonderful little story of a young lady who was not intimidated away from that. In Luke chapter 10, it says, "Now it happened as they went and entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, saying, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus in the face of sure she had. It wasn't the thought wasn't there that she could help, but she knew she needed to be there. And she chose to be there, and she stayed at Jesus' feet, and Jesus affirmed her for taking time out of her busy day and her busy schedule to spend some time at Jesus' feet. Now, this is not a message of shame on all of us for not spending more, having a bigger devotion time. Forget that. You don't see that in Mary's look, do you? You don't see Mary going, okay, I'm doing my time at Jesus' feet here. No, you can tell there's an excitement. There's an expectation. There's an anticipation. Praise God. This is my Jesus' feet time. I'm getting stuff. I'm hearing stuff. You know, choose. It's not only looking in the right place, but it's choosing to live. Look and live. And this is where it is such a powerful thing. I am choosing to live. I'm choosing to have that life, because there is life in the look. There, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. As I'm looking there, life is coming. and I'm choosing life. I know that. I love Mary's heart here. She knew she had to choose that. But she knew there's many things to be troubled about, but one thing is needed. And it's a good reminder. The one thing is needed. That one thing. Praise God. Lord, have I done the one thing this morning that is needed? My one thing throughout the day. I am going to look and live on purpose and receive that. Receive it from the Lord. Jesus affirmed her for choosing that. And I love Hebrews how it puts it. Therefore, also we also, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amplified says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. It was something that Mary, you see here, did, and that Jesus, you know, that we're called to do, to look away from all that distracts and looking unto Jesus. And so as we look at this, you know, one of the things that I think of, you know, in terms of a situation like the Hebrew children with the snakes in the camp, there was another, you know, there's another powerful New Testament story with the Apostle Paul. He is thrown in jail, in a Philippian jail. It says his feet were fastened in the inner prison. And you can think of, at that point, the Apostle Paul, his back was beaten, he was whipped, so he had stripes on his back, feeling the pain. He couldn't move his legs. He was smelling whatever that prison smelled like at the time. And he was probably aching and tired. And what he did was he turned past all that. And the Bible says that him and Silas began to worship God and sing to where the prisoners heard it. And then all of a sudden there was an earthquake that loosed their chains. But what did the Apostle Paul do? He looked past, looked away from the junk, and he just looked up. He looked and he lived. He looked and he was released and freed. This look initially is not a gooey look. It's a look of faith. There's faith in that look, but there's life in that look. And it is a choice to choose to live. And I want to emphasize it this way. You know, there's a great old, and maybe a lot of you are familiar with it, a great old movie called Great Expectations. And if you don't kind of know the story of that, where you got this lady, just kind of a bitter old lady who was left at the altar, ultimately, and living in this old, dead house. And she's got this kind of a stepdaughter that she's adopted. And she's really kind of transferring her bitterness and her hatred toward the guy who stood her up at the altar, really toward her young stepdaughter. And there's this young kid, little boy named Pip, and he lives in the house, and, you know, as the story goes on, you know, he really pursues the stepdaughter and really likes her, and of course, the older lady kind of wanted this, really just for the purpose of hurting this kid, you know, in the way that she was hurt, and, you know, kind of skip fast forward to the end, but as it turns out, you know, the old lady dies, and then that young lady kind of spurns Pip, and then she gets left at the altar. And she's sitting in that house exactly the way her stepmother did. And Pip comes and he sees that. And he sees her repeating the same mistake that her stepmother made. You know, bitterness is transferable. There's things that can be transferred to you. Beware lest the root of bitterness springing up in you, therefore defiling many. It's something that can be transferred. And it's such a powerful little scene at the end where he sees Stella and he says, Stella, you got to get out of this house. It's a dead house. And it is kind of this creepy, dusty thing. And she's fixed in her chair. He says, well, then I am going to, you know, let the light in. He goes and just rips the boards down. All of a sudden, the light just starts to shine in to this house. And one of the things, when the light starts to shine in, you really see how dirty the dirt is. You can't really see how dirty dirt is in a dark place. But when the light shines in, wow, that is really gross. Somebody once said, you know, if we could see the spiritual faith of some of the things that we yield to in our flesh, we'd run the other way. You know, the face that the world portrays of junk and the face that it really is when the light comes in, it's gross, it's ugly. God wants us to run away from stuff. But anyway, he tore down those boards and the light began to shine in. And you could see, he said, this is a dead house. and the doors opened, and he took her. And you know, they had a relationship before, and he said, let's begin again. And of course, they hug and embrace, and they go off and happily ever after begin again. But she got out of the shadow of her stepmom's bitterness. And they had to choose to live. And that's what you're going to find yourself doing. You look and live. Yeah, the devil may have dragged me down. He may have taken me down. I may have done some dumb things. I may have some things that have held me back, some things that I'm not proud of and that I'm ashamed of. But I'll tell you one thing, devil, the days I've got ahead, I'm going to live them out. I'm going to live out these days I got left. And I'm going to live them for God regardless of what's happened in the past. I'm going to choose to live. I'm going to choose to set my mind on things above. I'm forgetting those things that are behind. And I'm going to live and not die. I'm going to live out the plan of God for my life. However many days I got left, I'm going to live them days out. They're my days given to me by God, and I'm going to live them. I'm not going to stay in that house with boarded up in the darkness. I'm going to live. I'm going to live for you, Father. I don't have all the answers. All I'm going to do is I'm going to look in your direction. I'm going to set my mind on things above. I know that's general. I know that's vague, but I know the Holy Ghost is in me. And when that light comes on, he's going to show me the specifics, and I'm going to walk out what I need to do. But I'm going to look, and I'm going to live. I'm going to live out these days. They've been given to me by God, and I'm not going to waste them. I'm not going to waste them. I'm not going to waste them on dead things. I'm going to look for the living among the living, and I'm going to live. Praise God. So, I love the psalm. Lift up your gates, O you heads, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. He's living in you. Lift up your gates. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, letting the light shine in, letting the light of Christ shine in, and living out my life, living out my days. What does that mean? That's not something a preacher can tell you. That's something only the Holy Ghost can show you. Preacher can just kind of point you in a general direction. The Holy Spirit shows you those specifics. But he will challenge you to live. You're down here to live. It's a vapor. It's a short period of time. Live out your days. Live out your days looking forward. Begin to enjoy. I love what Paul says. I don't count myself to have apprehended. I can go back and shoulda, woulda, coulda. But one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Whatever days I've got left, I'm living them out in life. I'm not going to play with dead things. I'm looking for the living among the living, and I'm going to enjoy my life. Jesus came that we'd have life and have it more abundantly. And this is how he shows us to have it. There's a place we can look and we can live. We have to look in the right place. Got to get spiritually minded. Again, you're not the birds, the angels. You're not going to hear the angels singing when you get spiritually minded right away. It's a steady gaze. But keep that steady gaze and that look, and you will hear the angels singing. There will be spiritual mindedness. There will be revelation. And it's like anything. When you begin to go in a direction and you begin to see some results, it inspires you to stay in that direction. You know, it's the same as true spiritually. You get your mind on things above and you're just kind of doing it by faith. Praise God. And all of a sudden you're starting to pick up things. Praise God. I'm going to keep my mind on things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And I'm going to keep getting things. What happens? The light comes on. And pretty soon you can begin to see. You can begin to see where to find missing things, where those missing things were, or the answers and the direction. You may see that, oh, I need to forgive. Pray, da da da. When you're in darkness, you can't even see what's right in front of your face. You know that? But when the light comes on, it's like, wow, duh. Well, you got to turn the light on to see things. It'll be amazing. You'll get in the place of light, and God will just, hey, I love you, son. I love you, daughter, with an everlasting love. Let that go, even as I've loved you. I'll give you the grace. I'll give you the grace to forgive. I'll give you the grace. Praise God. And that thing that has tried to own you, you'll see it from a perspective of death. You know, it's an amazing thing. You can have something traumatic happen in your life, and all of a sudden the things that you're kind of playing with, you'll see that they're death immediately. You don't even need a revelation. It's like some spiritual things are real. Whoa, you know, that's no. Gross. You don't even want to be close to anything. You know it. Well, as you keep your mind stayed on things above, You'll see things crystal clear, and you'll know things. And it's not religious stuff. It's because you're seeing things. You're seeing things to stay away from and things to go toward. If your eye is single, your whole body's full of light. Praise God. What happens? There's life. There's healing. There's wholeness. And there's strength. But we got to choose to live. That's the choice that only we can make. It's still set before us. Life and death is still set before us. Even though I'm a born again child of God, Christian, going to heaven, I still have to choose life and death. I still have to choose spiritual mindedness or carnal mindedness, to set my mind on things above or to set my mind on things on the earth. In one of them, there's death. In another one, there's life. And I can't look for the living among the dead. If I want answers, I'm going to have to look up where Christ is. My life is hidden there with Christ. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for just the truth of your word, Lord, that it doesn't change. There's no variableness or shadow in turning with you, that your word is true. It's truth. It's a sword, Father God. It divides asunder how we feel and what really is. It gets in between those two parts of our being and shows us what really is. Father, help us. Help us, Lord, to take that look, to look and live, Father God, that steady gaze. Lord, it's not a quick fix or a high or like a drug or something, but it's a steady gaze, a committed gaze. And that through that gaze, Father God, there is a flow of life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus flows through the steady gaze of keeping our mind on you, spiritual mindedness. Father, I just pray that for each one in this place this morning. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the look of life, that I can look up where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Christ is there. My life is hidden there in Christ. When I look there, I not only see Christ, but I see my life, the good works you've ordained me to walk in. They're up there with you. And as I seek those things, I find myself. I don't find myself in the flesh. I find myself above, in heavenly places, where Christ is. That's my real life. I look there. I fix my gaze there. I choose to live. The days I got left, I want them to be life days. I forget those things that are behind. I'm reaching forward. And by your grace and your strength and the precious Holy Spirit, I live each day for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.